Everybody say the power of
Thanksgiving.
Number one, the power of. Number two, the power of. Number one, the power of. Number two, the power of. Okay. Power of Thanksgiving. I've been using this all week where I've just thanked God. Well, you don't see it yet, but you thank God in advance. And what it is thanking God in advance. It's just watering. We learned this last week. It's just watering those things in our life that God has called in our life, but you just water and say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. It's going to happen. Thank you, God. It's going to happen. Thank you, God. Oh, I thank you, God. And God loves it, and you're just watering it, and it grows, and all of a sudden you see it, and you're like, and you're like, you're not like all, oh, look, it happened. I'm so surprised. You're like, no. You see, here's what you say. You say, I knew it was going to happen. Thank you, God. But here's the thing. You've already thanked God for it. You're already just grateful, and God loves it. The opposite is, we talked about it last week, is just the whining and complaining, okay? And God does not like that at all. So we need to exercise the power of anticipation. Exercise the power of anticipation, thankfulness. Today I want to talk to you about something that you might have never even heard before, but it's in the Word of God. But I want to show it to you because it's very, very helpful. It's the power of not looking at the circumstances. It's the power of not looking at, or say, the circumstances, or the power of not looking at your circumstances. And what we have a tendency to do, just because we live in a tangible world, we look at our circumstances, and those circumstances convince us that what is what will continue to be. And then we end up saying, see, that's how it is, that's how it is, and it becomes a self-fulfilled prophecy. And we are self-fulfilling that prophecy, and then we say, see? And it just keeps on this cycle, and here's what the Bible calls it, a stronghold. You ever hear people, and they're like, I forgot her name. And then someone will say, oh, yeah, I'm bad with names. And then you'll hear this other person, oh, I'm really bad with names. And they'll go in this conversation of, you see it that way. You see it sometimes with people talk about, you know what, their ailments. You know what I mean? Oh, yeah, I'm getting this old, and, you know, I started having this problem with my knee. And then someone said, well, you think you got problems with your knee. I got a problem with my hip. And you know what I mean? And you know, my knee hurts. No, my hip hurts. You know what I mean? It becomes this, and it's like, Or there's situations in your home, maybe with your marriage, maybe situations with your kids. Maybe your kids aren't serving the Lord. Maybe marriage isn't as content as you want it to be. And listen, and maybe those situations, maybe you've been in debt. Maybe you can't even remember. Maybe it seems like debt is so overwhelming that you've just for many people, at some point in time, they just settle in with, that's how it's going to be. I'm never going to own my home. And what happens is they aren't exercising the power of, watch this, not looking at their circumstance. Now, this will become clear and clear and clear as we teach this, but I'm going to show you some things in the Word of God, because some of you are looking at me like, it's kind of a hard thing to grasp that I'm asking you not to look at your circumstances. Listen to what I'm telling you. Your circumstances, listen very carefully, your circumstances right now are probably the one major thing that are keeping you from walking, or say it like this, your willingness to continue to look at your circumstance is the one thing that's keeping you from walking in the victory that God really wants you to walk in. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to show it to you in the Word of God, and I'm going to we're going to just unveil this, and you're going to see it, and you're going to go, that's my problem. That is my problem. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Okay. So let's see, where do I want to go first? Well, let's make my first point. My first point is this. That God desires that we put our trust in Him. Oh, Now, listen, when I say put my trust in him, put our trust in him, what I'm saying specifically is put your trust in him, not put your trust in your circumstances. And most people would never verbalize it, never say, oh, I'm not putting my trust in circumstances. But watch this. Because you keep on looking at it and it becomes concrete and becomes more concrete and more concrete, that's exactly what you do. But let me show it to you in the Word of God. Let's just go over a couple of scriptures. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Now, we know this scripture, and we quote it, and most of the time I quote it, I just quote the second part, lean not unto your own understanding. How many of you heard me say that? You know, lean not unto your understanding. Okay, so we catch that. But look what the Bible, look at the whole verse. The Bible says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Now, your heart is a major issue in this whole issue. Paul writes and he says, I pray that your heart, that you would be enlightened. Okay. But one that the NIV says, I pray that your heart would be enlightened. This heart is so critical because it's what, well, here's what your heart represents, who you really are. And God is saying, I trust in the Lord with really who you are. And then he says, and lean not into your own understanding. Or he could say it like this, and stop looking at your circumstances. Stop looking at your circumstances. There's power of you learning to not allowing your circumstance to dictate what is really going on. And what I'll show you in the Word of God is there's something way more powerful than what you can see. But when you keep on looking at what you can see, you, in essence, give up. Please understand that you are the catalyst to change. Everybody say, I'm the catalyst to change. Watch, I'll prove it to you. God has set before you. No, God's the catalyst to change. God's the catalyst to change. Here, love you guys. No, you're the catalyst to change. No, God's the catalyst to change. No, you're the catalyst to change. Here, you want me to prove it to you? Because theologically, we get confused and we listen to people who will teach, no, God is the catalyst to change. No, God is not the catalyst to change. You're the catalyst to change. Well, where do they get that? Oh, God is all powerful. God is all powerful, but you are the catalyst to change. See, understand, and I'm going to prove it to you in the Word of God. You can't get better theology than the Word of God. We've got to allow this to dictate to us what the truth is, not what we heard some pastor 8 years ago say. Amen. I'm smiling, right? I'm so tired of listening to people read the Word of God and then spend 35 minutes explaining what God said isn't true. And I'm talking about pastors. Why what you thought you heard can't happen to you. Let me tell you what. It can happen to you. And what I reminded you before, the problem with that is you're listening to leaders, but you're listening to, understand, when Moses sent those leaders off, they were all leaders, 12 leaders. Just because you're a leader doesn't mean you're theologically right. 10 of those leaders were absolutely wrong. And all the people that followed, listen to me, somebody, this is for somebody, and all those people that followed those leaders that wouldn't have the confidence to believe in what God said over, this is good, over their circumstance. Oh yeah, the grapes are good, the fruit is big, but you ought to see how big those people are. The problem was they didn't exercise the power that they should have exercised. What power? To not look at their circumstance. Are you catching what I'm saying? Yes. 2 Corinthians, you know this. 2 Corinthians 5:7. You know this. You know what? For a week, God, you know, Paul's talking to Christians. He's saying to the Corinthian church, hey guys, we walk by faith, not by sight. What's holding you back is your circumstance. You look at it and say, oh, never change, never change, never change. Or never say that. Okay, you don't say that, but that's what you think. That's why from the heart the mouth speaks. That's why when you get pressure, guess what? When you put pressure on, guess what happens? When you squeeze the toothpaste, guess what happens? Whatever's in comes out. You get an unlearned, and you whatever's in there squishes out. Amen. Amen. But the just, you know what I mean? You know what? The people of God, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Habakkuk 2:4. You know this. Habakkuk 2:4. Look at this. Behold, the proud. His soul is not upright in him. What's that next word? What's the next word? But. Contrast. Now he's going to give a contrast. But the just, the justified, the Christians. But the just shall live by what? By his faith. Notice, is that capital H or little h? Little h. You know, that's not talking about by God's faith. You know who's that talking about? It's talking about by your faith. Okay? Look at your neighbor and say, you are the catalyst to change. What's God say? Let me tell you what I've done. I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, who choose? You choose. God said, God wants you to choose life, but here's what he's saying. Let me tell you what I've done. I've set before you death and life, blessing and cursing, but I don't choose. You're the one who chooses. And some of you are choosing the wrong thing, and it's not because, it's simply because you're living. Listen, this is not a sermon like, oh, you're bad. You keep on looking at your circumstances. That's not this kind of sermon. This sermon is like, hey, guys, I get it. We live in a physical world. But what I'm suggesting to you is that there is a place, and I'm going to show you exactly how to do it, for you to get your eyes off your circumstance. And when you do, I'm telling you what, you will unleash power of change like you cannot even believe. I mean, just so incredibly powerful. Now, look at Ephesians chapter 1. Look up here on the screen, because first I have it on with the NIV, because it just makes it a little clearer. The NIV says this, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18, I pray that your eyes of your heart might be enlightened. One version says, I pray that there would just be this flood of light to come into your heart. Here's why. You don't see it yet. You see the circumstances, and what Paul is praying is that you would see. Think about it for a minute. This is how he walked. This is how John walked. This is how Peter walked. So watch this. Because there's such understanding of not looking at the circumstances, they come up to a man who cannot walk, who's never been able to walk, and they seize him by the hand, and the Bible says they raise him up. Why did they raise him up? Here's why. Because the eyes of their heart was so enlightened, you know what, on the power of God that they didn't even look at the circumstances. See, how many of us would look at the situation and say, oh man, we got to get this guy to the doctor? Or how many of us would say, you know what, the doctor has no way of fixing, how many know the doctor has no way of fixing this? Not right now, it doesn't. And so we'd think, oh man, here's a dollar. Okay. Listen, that is not what John did. That is not what Peter did. Why? Because their eyes were so flooded with this light. Let me show you another version. It makes it even more clear. Look at this same verse, but another version says this. Then you will, watch this, then you will have deeper insight. Deeper insight. You will know the confidence that he calls you to have and the glorious wealth that God's people will inherit. That's what happened. Peter and John understood that. Their heart was so full with light that they had this deeper insight. They didn't see the circumstance as insurmountable. Watch this next verse. You will also know the unlimited greatness of his power as it works with might and strength. Watch this. Here's the main thing. For who? For us, the believers. Amen. That's what Paul says. He's dealing with the same thing that we're dealing with. People who have circumstance in their life and they don't understand. They're too busy seeing what the problem is to see that God has a solution for them. Now, I want to show you a clip, but I got to set this clip up for you. This is a young man. He's just actually probably like an 8-year-old, 10-year-old little boy. And he is a master. He's really, really good at chess. And so he's got this tournament that he's in, and he's one of the two finalists. So it's just him and this other boy, and they're having this chess match. And so he's looking at the board, and he's looking at these chess pieces, and he can't see the way out. He can't see the victory. Some of you are looking at your circumstances in your life, and you can't see the victory. And so he goes back to a time that his master instructor, takes the chessboard, and he can't see the next move. He can't see it. He's trying to see it, but he can't see it. And he says, "Let me help you." And he takes the chess pieces, and he just whacks them away. Now, in real time, he says, "Can you see it now?" See, some of you, you can't see it because you're too busy looking at the circumstances, the chess pieces being the circumstances in your life. You can't see it. And this guy knows he can't see it because he's too busy looking at the pieces. And he wipes it away. And he says, "Now, can you see it now?" So he's in this chess match with this guy. And for a moment, I'll clue you in when he does it. He all of a sudden looks at the board and remembers what his instructor told him. And he clears the board completely off. When he clears the board completely off, he sees it. Amen. Here's my point. When you will clear the board of the circumstances in your life, you're going to open up yourself to see things that you've never seen. Amen. What situations do you have that you have had for maybe a year, 2 years, 3 years? And you can't see it. All you can see is this is how it's always been. And it continues to maybe even get worse. And you have convinced yourself. You've convinced yourself, watch this, not because it can't change, but because in your mind, it won't change. And I'm going to show you in the Word of God that you are the catalyst of change. That no matter how entrenched this is, no matter how you think it will never change, the truth is all this can change. But you have to exercise the power of not seeing the circumstances. I baited you. I told you when it was. And he looked at the board. And did you see it? He saw nothing. That's the power of not looking at the circumstances. And when you will start to look at your life without looking at the circumstances that are right in your face, then you'll see the potential. You'll see the possibilities. You'll see the things that God wants you to see. And you'll go, What does he say? He says, look at the confidence. He says, you've lost. You just don't know it. And you'll say that to Satan. And then notice what the young man said back to him. He said, look at the board. Those words are what Satan says to you. Look at your circumstances. And we get intimidated. We go, oh my goodness, look at my circumstances. But we have to look at it without looking at the circumstances and saying, I have looked at the board. Come on. Satan, you've lost. But I'm telling you what, most Christians will never walk in the victory that God's called them to walk in because they will not They will not use the power of their mind. God has given you your mind. They won't use that power to, and you've got to focus on it to wipe away the board. You can't see it because you're too busy looking at your circumstance. And it's right there. Remember the instructor? He said, it's there. It's there. He saw it. Can I show it to you in the Word? First, let me just make this. Let's just go there first. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Look what this says quickly. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And then God said, this is God. He says, let us make man in our own image according to our own likeness. This is God. No one comes up with better theology than God. Let them have dominion. Who's them? Them is the people. Them is Adam and Eve. Let them, watch this, have dominion over the fish of the air, over the birds of the, or the fish of the air, over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over the cattle, over the, all the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps on earth. Let them have dominion over it. Okay. Just so you understand how true this is, let's look at another scripture that says the exact same thing. David recognizes this is true. Look what David says. We sang it. You know what? I'm a friend of God. I am a friend of God. Who am I that you are? What? Mindful of me. Oh, that's a good. No, that's the word. He's quoting David. Look what David says. Guys, Psalms. Are you with me? Psalms chapter 8, starting with verse 2. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants. Oh, how cute, how cute. He's being poetic. No, he's not being poetic. He's being real. Here's what he's saying. He's saying, hey, look, the babes are the baby people. Amen? Infants. Human beings. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants. And you have ordained strength from them, because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. Now watch this, verse 3. When I consider the heavens and the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him? That's what we sang. David's like, whoa! I trip out that God, you are so mindful of men. That's what he's saying. Watch this. For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him. Crowned who? Who him? Men. You have crowned men with glory and honor. God did. You know, you ought to go over to Burger King, get one of those Burger King things, and write on it, honor and glory, and just walk her like this. You know, people are like, what are you doing? I'm crowned. God has crowned me with honor and glory. And how many know you would be biblical? God did that to you. Watch this. You have made him to have, God has made man to have dominion over the works of your hands. What's that? That's this earth. You have put all things under his feet. Oh, praise the Lord. God put everything under Jesus' feet. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Wrong, Amando. That's not what he's saying. You have put all things under his feet. Watch this. Big H or little H? Little H. Now, in the Hebrew, it wasn't big H or little H. It was just everything was the same. Okay. So, how come they put little H? Here's why how they come put little H. Because of verse 2. The people who are translating this understand he's not talking about God. He's talking about human beings. That's why they correctly put it little H. And we are looking at our circumstances and we think because those circumstances have been the same for 8 years or 20 years or 8 months or 20 days, it's never going to change. Well, it's never going to change, but it's never going to change because you keep on saying and thinking, he's never going to change. I'm speaking to somebody. And it's never going to change. And here's why you think it's never going to change. Because you keep on looking at the pieces. And God says, no, wipe it out. The power of you not looking at the circumstances. You want me to show you a couple places in the Word of God? Okay. Second point, we must understand that there is something more sure, greater, more powerful than what we see. See, we live in this world. We think, oh, you know, these are things that are, you know what, we look, a doctor, you know, gets an x-ray and shoves it up and says, see, here's the problem, boom, 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 boom. Or looks at a blood report, says, here's a problem, boom, 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 boom. And we think, oh, that's concrete. That's for sure. That's, he's gone to medical school. He's, you know what, that is the facts. Can I tell you what? There's something that is more true than the facts. More true. Everybody say more true. See, just listen, just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not real. Faith is the evidence. Ever say evidence? See, what's that? That's real. Faith is the evidence of things hoped for. The assurance, it's sure, it's real, of things, what? Not seen. Okay, so I got this penny here. Okay. And this penny is made up of matter. The matter that it's made up is made of atoms. Everybody say atoms. Okay. And so how many know atoms are real small? So to figure out how many atoms are on this penny, you got to look really close. Let me count. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Okay. What's my point? How ridiculous. And here's what happens. Here's my point. My point is we think that because we can't see something, that we can, because we can see something, we think that's more real than what we can't see. Just the opposite. And there would be people who would argue. There was a philosopher before Jesus came, and they didn't have ways. They didn't have ways for them to measure it. So all they could do is just try to figure it out in their mind. And here's what he came up. Here's what his theory was. He couldn't test it, but here's what his theory was. His theory was that that you could take a piece of paper and you could tear it in half. And then you could take a piece in this paper and tear it in half. And then you could take this and tear it in half. And then you could take in this and tear it in half. And then you could take this and tear it in half. And then you could take this and tear it in half. And then you could take this and tear it in half. And then you could take this and tear it in half. And then you could take this and tear it in half. But after you tore this in half, there was something so small, you could get to the place where you couldn't tear it in half anymore. You know what he called that? He called that, he called that atomon. And what atomon means is it means it's so small, you can't rip it in half anymore. That's what it means. Well, when he was, let me show you my atom. Okay. Can't tear that in half anymore. Years later, in the 18th century, there was another guy who came up. And by that time, there were other ways to measure a theory. And he came up with the theory that there was something called, it wasn't a theory, he proved the theory. He was the first person to prove that an atom was real. And he proved it. But this whole time, there was people who didn't believe that there was a atom. There was people who believed that you could just that you could just keep on tearing it for an infinite amount. There was people who believed that there wasn't an atom. Later on, the guy who discovered the atom, show me his picture, okay? John Dalton came up with this in the 18th century. And John Dalton not only took this theory, but he proved it. He proved it. Amen. Now, Pastor, what's my point? Up to this guy, there's all kinds of people who didn't believe in the atom. How many know the atom exists whether you believed it or not? Yeah. And one of the reasons why people didn't believe it is because you couldn't see it. Because let me tell you what we are. We are a people who, if you see it, it's real. But I'm telling you what, just because you see it doesn't mean it's real. Or, to say it like this, there is something that's more real than what you can see. More real. Evidence of the thing hoped for, Faith is the evidence of things hoped for, the assurance, everybody say assurance, of things not seen. Let me show you another scripture. This is in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. While we do not walk, while we do not look at the things which are seen, why did Paul walk in the supernatural all the time? You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that mighty things, mighty miracles were done by the apostles' hands. Not by God's hands, by the apostles' hands. Now, before you freak out and start, you know what, write me a letter or send me an email, you know, oh, that's not good theology. Let me remind you what we just learned. That the Bible says that God gave dominion and he gave it over the earth to men. And so we have dominion over matter. And so Paul is walking in this authority. And he's seeing people getting healed supernaturally. Why? Here's why. While we do not look at the things which are seen. Because Paul understood this power, the power of not looking at your circumstances. He exercised it and he walked in it. While we don't look at the things which are seen. Why? Because, but the things which are not seen. It doesn't say not real. It says not seen. Why? For the things which are seen are temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Now, let me translate this for a minute. What is more substantial? Something that is temporary or something that can't be changed? What is more substantial? Come on. Something that cannot be changed. That's way more powerful. So Paul says, let me tell you why we won't look at the things that are seen. Because the things that are seen are inferior to the things that we're using. Say it like this. For the things which are seen are inferior. But the things which are not seen are superior. Let me remind you. How did everything that get made that you can see? It got made by what was superior. Jesus spoke it. Let me prove it. Before there was light, when God said, let there be light, was there light? No. What happened? The superior was, the inferior was made by the superior. And you keep on looking at your circumstances and go, man, I can't see it. I can't see it. I can't see it. You know what you need to do? You need to wipe. You need to see your marriage, not how it is. You need to see your body, not how it is. You need to see your finances, not how it is. You need to see. You need to walk like Paul. You need to start looking at the things. You don't look at the things that are seen. Why? Because they are inferior. There's no small little things made up of this. You know, I can't see it. It's not there. No. You know how many atoms are in this penny? You know how many atoms make up this penny? Here, take a wild guess. 1,000. 300,000. 1,000,000. 1,000,000,000. Come on. 1,000,000,000,000. 8. I can only see 8, Pastor. 8. See, that's how we are, and we laugh because it's so foolish. Can I tell you what? Paul's tapping onto this thing. Let me tell you what. I won't look at what I can see, because let me tell you what I can see. What I can see is temporary. In other words, it's subject to change. So how many atoms are in this? Can I show you how many atoms? Okay. 8. I only see 4. Okay. 2.8 to the 10th to 10 to the 22nd power. That's 28 and with 21 zeros after that. How big of a number is? Here's it. Okay. Ooh, I can't see them. It don't exist. 28 million, million, billion atoms make up this penny. And can I tell you what? And how many know there's stuff smaller than the atom? Protons and neutrons. And now they found something called a quartz that I won't even get into. Amen. And you're too busy looking at this thinking, no, it's always going to. Listen, no, wrong. Listen to me, somebody. You've got to do what that young man did. And you've got to wipe it away. Yeah, but it's in front of me. It's going to be in front of you. I know that. Wipe it away. Don't move till you see it. And some of you never move because you never see it because you're too busy looking at what you've seen. Are you learning something today?
Yeah.
Third point, and we'll end with this. Third point. In order to see it, we must tap into the frequency of God. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. We learned this from Dr. Kegel. And Dr. Kegel, who has seen many things, some people who were dead, everybody say dead. Okay, people raised from the dead. How many of those, that's a circumstance you say, well, that ain't going to change. He's seen it. And here's what he told me. He said, Pastor, just start reading the Gospels. Start reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And here's what will happen. You'll start to see Jesus walking in the supernatural. And that will become so tangible to you that you'll start to step out in faith because you understand that this is a doable thing. See, your problem isn't your problem. That's not your problem. Your problem is that you keep on seeing your problem. And you see it, and you say it, and you see it, and you say it, and you see it, and you say it, and it becomes what the Bible calls a stronghold. And Paul says, let me tell you how we act. We don't walk in that realm. You have to get on the supernatural frequency of God, and you'll be able to, you won't see what is right in front of you. We don't look at which is seen, but we look at that which is not seen. For that which is seen is inferior, but that which is unseen is superior. Let me tell you two stories and I'll stop. Are you learning some? So there's this guy, okay? And he's the king of, where's he the king of? He's the king of Syria. And every time that he sets up his army, the Israel army is there in advance. And so he's like, what's up with that? So he gets his officials together and he says, let me tell you what's going on. There's a spy in here, and I don't know who it is, but I'm going to find out who it is. And one of the guys raises his hand and says, Lord, there's no spy in here. We're not spying on it. No! Let me tell you what's going on. There's a prophet in Israel. And here's what happens. You in your bedroom say, we're going to do this, and the prophet has a word of knowledge, and he understands where we're going to be, and that's what's going on. There's no spy. It's Elijah. He's your problem. So the king says, I tell you what I'm going to do. We're going to get up. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to find out where Elijah is, and we're going to surround him. So here's what they do. They find out where Elijah is. I don't even know what that is, but that's okay. I don't have time to go into how the mind of the geniuses work. See, I tell Tamara, don't tell her this isn't true. I tell Tamara, it is a genius mind that can put two words together instantaneously and come up with your own word, okay? Don't tell her it's not true, but she heard it. Oh, shoot, okay. I think she knew it already, but anyway, here's my point. My point is, so where am I in the story? So, thank you. So they go and they surround Elijah. They find out where he is and they surround him. His servant wakes up. You know how you wake up in the morning, you're like, get your coffee. You go outside, it's a nice day, you know what I mean? And he goes outside and when he looks, he goes, I don't know if he had coffee, the Bible doesn't say he had a coffee, but he goes outside and he looks and he sees the army of the Syrians all around him.
Wow.
And I was like, we're jacked up. So it goes back to Elijah, and he says, Elijah, we're messed up. They're all around us. And then Elijah said this. Here's what he says. He says, let me tell you what. There's more of them. There's more of us than there's of them.
Sorry.
One, two. And then he says this, and then Elisha says, I pray that you would, God, that you would open, here's what he prays. He prays the same prayer that Paul prays for us, and that I'm praying for you. That our eyes, that we would see. I pray that your, listen, that your eyes would see, that you would no longer see what is there, the circumstances, but you would have a greater understanding of what is more real than your circumstances. And the Bible says, here's what he did. The Bible says that he opened up his eyes and he saw, watch this, he saw the chariots that surrounded, chariots of fire that surrounded the army. Now, here's what is so interesting in that story. And you think, oh, good, so the army of God is going to annihilate the army, the Syrian army, right? And you think, wow, that's going to happen. That's not what happens. Now, I'm not saying that Israel isn't victorious. I'm just saying that's not what happens. I woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning just meditating this, and all of a sudden it was like a light bulb went on. I was like, oh my goodness. And I saw the whole point of the story. Now let me tell you what happens, and then I'll tell you the point. The Elijah prays, and here's the point. Everybody say, I am the catalyst to change. God's army doesn't defeat the Syrian army. That's not what happens. That's not how he gets the victory. Elijah prays, and here's what he prays. He prays, God, I pray that you would send blindness on the army that surrounds us. Now, think about it for a minute. See, here's the problem. The problem is confidence. You need to understand if God is for you, who can be against you? And when you understand this, you'll understand your circumstances are no big deal. He prays. He sees the army around the army that is against him, and he prays, God. And what does he know? He knows God is completely on his side. God, I mean, the Bible says, we have not because we ask not. I mean, the Bible says, speak to the mountain, be removed, cast and see, and not down your heart, but believe the very thing that you say, and you will have what you say. I mean, that's what the Bible, I don't think that's true. Well, then you argue with Jesus, because Jesus is the one who said that. So he says, God, I pray that you would cause all these people to be blind. I mean, great, funny story. There's some great stories in the Bible, amen? And so what happens is the guys come up, oh, we're going to get you. And they know where he is. Yeah. We're going to get you. You're Elijah, we're going to need it. But then they can't see him. And then he goes, hey, guess what? You're in the wrong city. He's not even here. He said, he's not even here. I'm going to lead you to him. God's got a sense of humor, huh? So he leads, this is Elijah, leads them, guess where he leads them? To the armies of God. And then he says, and then the king who sees all the armies come in, boom, we got him now. He says, Elijah, what do you want me to do? And you think he's going to say, I'll tell you what, wipe them out. He doesn't say that. Here's what he says. He says, make them a meal. Make them a good meal. And get them something to drink. They make him a meal. And the Bible says he sets up a great, here's what the New King James says, a great feast for them. Great feast. How many know these guys thought they were as good as dead? And now they're eating, a street dog with bacon. You know, with what are we drinking, Tamara? With strawberry lemonade. How many know this is a good day? Here's what the Bible says. That then he allows them to leave. Here's what the Bible says. And they never, ever bothered Israel again. Special, what's the point? Here's the point. It wasn't God's army that defeated them. It was Elijah's prayer. And I'm sitting there, or lying there this morning going, whoa! God, what are you saying to us? Here's what I'm saying to you. You are the catalyst of change in your life. And the problem is, you keep on looking at your circumstances and think it will never change. And you've convinced yourself. And maybe you've even believed for change at one point in time. And it didn't happen in your little timeline. It didn't happen soon enough. So it's never going to happen. And God says, listen. I don't know where you came from. I don't know what you're going through. But I believe you're not here on accident. I believe that you're here on purpose. I believe that you're going to start to understand, oh my goodness, that's what I've done, Pastor. I just keep on looking at my life, and down deep, I really don't think that anything's ever going to change. And I got proof of it. Because what it hasn't changed so far. Here's what I'm saying. You don't have proof. And your proof is going to cause you to be in the same mess 4 years from now and 8 years from now. And I'm saying if you are, it doesn't have to do with God. It has to do with you. And your willingness to stop looking at the pieces that are in front of you and start to wipe the board. And do what Paul did. For we don't look at that which is seen. For that which is seen is inferior to that which is unseen. That which is unseen is superior. Are you learning something today? Are you learning something today? I'm telling you what, this is not for the faint of heart. It is going to take some spiritual discipline. It is going to take you, you know what you got to do? You know what you got to do with your mind? You know what you got to do with your... Let me give you a word picture. You got to take your head and go, ah! I will not look at that. I will not look at that. I won't do it. Here's what I will do. I'll call the things that are not as though they were. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to speak over my husband. I'm going to speak over my wife. I'm going to speak over my finances. I'm going to speak over my kids. I don't care what I see. I'm not moved by what I see. For the just shall live by their faith. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Amen.